Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Because we're like same generation music, aren't we? Very close.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. So,
George Gershwin.
Oh, that's who
Count
the other
Basie.
Guy. That's the other guy I do the show. I got to jump back into that. You're not going to tell him I said that, are you, Dan?
Why? We'd say it to his face.
That is true. We would be all over the big band stuff on him. Although I will tell you,
Jeff's a big band guy.
Joe, he is just knowledgeable about music, man. I mean,
yeah, Jeff Phelps needs to find a bar trivia place somewhere, and he would
really.
Clean up.
I did not know this. Yeah, okay.
Oh, it's amazing.
Good crush to know. It. And any television show that's black and white, like he kills it on that stuff too. Like every once in a while, you'll hit MeTV and you'll start seeing like Gomer Pyle and stuff like that. He's like, oh yeah, episode 46, season 4.
Sergeant Carter.
Yeah, Carter walks in, and maybe if you notice in the background, there wasn't a regulation. I don't know, what do they call safety? Safety when you're on the bed, when you're making your bed, a safety thing on the bed. I mean, like he notices all that stuff. He's okay. Great. Tom Withers is in today for Jeff, and so we're talking about all this stuff. I'm going to tell you, super impressed with your horse racing knowledge. Like I didn't expect that. We were sitting there going, I don't really know what's going on with the Derby, and I bow to you, man. I totally bow to you on this.
Last name is Withers. What are the Withers on a horse?
I don't know. What are they?
That's on the horse's mane. Those are the hairs below the mane there on the top of the, wow. On their back. That's the Withers Derby. You didn't know? Withers Stakes.
That's
you didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, how
no.
about that? Yeah.
I feel like I'm with Bob Robertson here, the Railbird. I mean, come on.
As I mentioned earlier, my wife and I, like when we were first dating, mid, late 80s, we just got into like the Triple Crown.
Is that a great date place to go though? The Derby? Is it a good date place?
I got a story I can't tell on the air, but it's
you don't get divorced and or fired.
No, not that. Let's just put it this way. The Preakness is a party.
Okay.
And so we that was the first hold on a second here. Yeah, that was the first one we did. We drove down to Baltimore. The infield there is crazy. Now, I had a good buddy who was a horse racing writer for United Press International, John Swenson, may he rest in peace. Wonderful guy. Also a rock critic, knew everybody. He wrote the Rolling Stone obit for Stevie Ray Vaughan. I mean, this guy was plugged in. He was great. Yeah. And a horse racing aficionado. Anyway, so we got tickets from him. So we were in the grandstand having a great time. Find out then, and this is before cell phones or anything else, we find out that there's good friends of ours that are in the infield at the Preakness. So after about race six, we're like, we're going to the infield. Well, I'll paint the picture of the infield.
How many people are in the
infield?
Yeah.
Thousands.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's like 85 degrees and everybody is just feeling it and having a great time.
Right.
The contest that developed in the infield while we were there was how many coolers can you stack up and jump off of, which I think got to about 19 or so before somebody broke their neck. And
this feels very Buffalo Bills.
A table. Yeah, it's exactly what it was. So that's quite a scene. Now, as you asked Dick before, the coolest thing I think about Churchill is that it's got the reverence of it, right?
Right.
I mean, you walk in there and you really feel like you're in.
It's Yankee Stadium. We were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, it's the horseshoe. Pardon the pun, but it's there's something very special about it. And you kind of walk through the neighborhoods in Louisville as you get up to the track, And, you know, everybody's dressed to the hilts. And, you know, whether you wear a hat or not, as a
it's the last thing that I think people still get dressed up for. Think about it.
You really do.
You know, we talk about this all the time. I'm like, oh, I got to wear my Goodwill suit. It's July 1st. We're going to watch the ball game today at League Park. I'm like,
yeah.
Why would people wear suits to baseball games? It was insane.
Yeah, we still get a little dressed up at home. So the year that we went in 2013, we stayed in the Cincinnati area because you could. We kind of did this last minute, right? Mm-hmm. And then we took a bus from the Cincinnati. Is in help me out,
right? Covington.
Covington.
Yeah,
we stayed in Covington.
I don't know how that. I knew that's where.
So
you're
we took.
From,
yeah, so. Yeah. So just outside Cincinnati. Yeah. So we took a bus from Covington to Louisville that morning, right? Mm-hmm. Now, meanwhile, the bus leaves at like 7:30. We board, and there are people already on the bus that are about
hammered.
Yeah, there was this group of four guys from Michigan, of all places, sitting next to us on the bus. And about an hour into the bus ride, I said, hey, you guys are in for a long day. You may want to slow it down a little bit. And they were, I mean, they were hitting it hard.
And they were like, okay, Ohio State guy, I remember Tim Biakabatuka.
Exactly right.
Wait, from the bottom, or were they the Upers? Because the Upers are a different breed.
No, these were like Ann Arbor kids. Oh, and they were worse. So they were going at it hard. Guess who missed the bus coming back? The four guys from Michigan never made it back to the bus. And so I don't know what became of them. Anyway, so, you know, it's just great. And then the Belmont's an entirely different thing. People don't realize that Belmont Park is actually one of the state parks in New York.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Either. And it's kind of been rebuilt over the last couple of years because now the Islanders play, excuse me, in the arena that's right there.
How far is that from the city?
Depending on how fast you drive or what kind of traffic looks like.
Train. If you're taking the train, can you do it?
Or, 20 minutes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Nice and easy, but beautiful and kind of a different clientele there as well. Kind of that it's the rowdy New York crowd, if you will, right? It's almost like a Rangers or a Knicks game.
Okay.
Especially when the horses are barreling down the stretch. But yeah, loved it. And I'm a little bit of an amateur handicapper. It's fun.
I'm not trying to steer away from horse racing here, but you've covered so many great events, including the Olympics and all that.
Yeah.
Like where's the best place you've ever seen anything?
Oh, wow. That's a great question.
I have a couple things that are in the back of my mind that I'll never forget.
Well, go ahead.
When Ohio State won the national championship in Arizona in 2002, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, we're 3,000 miles away from home.
Yeah.
And it's a stadium that was, I wish Ken Dorsey was here because I could ask him about it.
But yeah.
What was it like to be on the other side? It was like maybe 2% Hurricane fan.
Oh, yeah.
There. And it was like being at a home game in the middle of the desert. And when they won, I didn't want to leave. I've told the story before. I was a fan. I didn't have to work that day. And it was I remember I went with my brother-in-law and I sat there in the seats and I didn't want, they had to kick us out.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to leave. It was finally a team that I had rooted for that I wanted to win, won the whole thing. Yeah. And it's just, you never got there. So
in terms of atmosphere and what have you, Madison Square Garden is tough to beat for a big basketball game. I saw some of those Bulls Knicks series I covered, you know, when Jordan was there. In terms of a stadium that left an indelible mark, I mean, my very first NFL game was in the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, Los Angeles Rams versus Green Bay Packers, 1969. For my 8th birthday.
Wow.
And, you know, even then, the Coliseum was the Coliseum, right? It had all that history, hosting Olympics and what have you, and going to be hosting another one coming up here in a couple of years. So, very special place still.
Huh.
Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of those moments, like when the Cavs won in... Were you in San Francisco for that? Were you in Oakland for the finals?
No, I was here.
It was the weirdest moment ever, because, you know... Were you ever out at the old...
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Oracle Arena?
Yeah, at Oracle. So you had to walk through this. So the floor was closed.
Just a dump, but...
Oh, total dump. And then you walked up this... To get to the floor, there was a little ramp, and then they had all these sections of where media people were. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting there, and I was watching the game from... media seats were super high, and I stood up there, and I watched probably 75% of the game, because I wanted to watch the game from there. And then at the end, I knew I had to come downstairs, because... You're going to do interviews, so you got to kind of get in line afterwards. And I had walked away to go find a monitor. And I remember just watching the clock move its way. It took forever. Last 10 seconds would not go off the clock, right? And I'm standing there, and I was next to Wendy. And Wendy was sitting, and he was watching on a monitor, and I was standing over his shoulder. And I'm watching the clock, And we're sitting in a room with all national writers. And the clock hits 00, and the Cavaliers won. And in that moment, I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be with my family.
Yeah,
I wanted to be with my dad. I wanted to be with my wife. I wanted to be with my brother. I wanted
Father's,
to be with my kids.
Father's Day.
Yeah, on Father's Day. And that's where I wanted to be. But also in that moment, I wanted to scream, right? And so all of a sudden, there
52
was...
52 years of frustration coming out all at once.
So, and you're underneath, and we were underneath the stands, and I just, my face turned. Wendy looked at me as I was about to, and I went like, and then I heard there was another TV sportscaster from Cleveland that was underneath.
Right.
And they started screaming when we hit 00. And at that moment, Wendy looked at me and he goes, he gave me that look and he goes, no. And I go, oh. I'm like, why did I pick this business? That was the one moment that I did not want to be a sportscaster.
So I'll bring up a sore spot for me, and this is going to, I'm going to try not to.
And I didn't say, by the way, I didn't scream. I didn't say anything. I took a deep breath and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then I waited till I got out of the arena and we had friends there from Cleveland. I saw it, and it's like, we were hugging and screaming and going crazy, but this was like hours after.
Right. Now, I was lucky enough to cover a bunch of finals for the AP. Unfortunately, in 2016, it was kind of cost prohibitive for them to send me back out there for game 7.
Oh, I get it.
So, you know, that hurt in its own right. I guess the good thing was that I got to cover the Cleveland end of winning the championship. So that's what they wanted my role to be. So I was at the watch party. My son was at the watch party.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was Father's Day.
Yeah.
It was so emotional. I mean, I can't even, and I try to describe it in the stories when, you know, down those final moments, like you're talking about, there were actually people having like prayer circles inside Rocket Arena, like and everybody was like holding hands and holding their breath.
Oh my
and,
God. I didn't know this.
It was just so bad. It was the best.
Yeah. Didn't Fred and AC call the game inside?
They were at Oracle.
Oh, they were.
Yeah, they called it from there. I remember. It was kind of simulcast, whatever.
Yeah,
Fred, God rest his soul. Yeah. I mean, he does that great finish there where, like, yeah, I mean, everybody could, you know, everything went away. The drive went away, the fumble.
Everything.
It was all gone.
And then we also were just kind of chill when the Cubs came in here and took over the stadium.
Oh,
and,
God.
I'm still bummed. All right, so I want to do this about the Derby.
Yeah, yeah.
Too. Don't tell me I lost them. There were some crazy odds. There's a bunch of, here we go. There's celebrity props for this. Did you see these
on the
bottom? You're not missing much, but it's crazy. It's interesting. There's a Cleveland tie to some of it. Hang on one second. Sorry.
Which football player will be seen first? These, I got you now. Okay.
So Kelsey and so who will be seen first? Taylor Swift and Travis together, Taylor alone, Travis alone, or Jason Kelsey alone?
Yeah.
Jason's going off at 4-1. Travis at 7-2. Taylor's 5-2, and Kelsey and Swift together 2-3. Did I say that right? They were going off. Yeah, okay. I don't know why. I had a weird moment there. Will the president be at the Kentucky Derby? I thought that was an interesting 25-1 odds on that.
Okay.
Which artist will be seen first?
Shaboozy is the favorite.
Yeah. And how about Machine Gun Kelly?
MG Kelly, 2-1 odds.
Jack Harlow after that, Travis Tritt and Joey Fatone.
Okay,
Tritt and Joey Fatone both going off of 4-1.
Then we've got Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, and AJ Hawk as our field for the football player to be seen first.
Hmm.
Interesting.
And then the last one I noticed was the total time of Grace Potter's national anthem. The over-under is 104.5 seconds. So, you know what I had to do?
Go ahead.
I had to go look to see what the Super Bowl one was, and the Super Bowl one was 120 on the money.
Can I tell you something? 104 is fast, and you know how I know this?
Uh-uh.
We time the national anthem at every single Guardians game.
You do, or someone sitting next to you? Or just for fun, you guys.
Some of the press box guys, yeah.
So,
and you usually can tell before the person even takes the field, you kind of get a vibe as to we don't bet it over under, but we have a good time with it.
So when I was in the press box every day with you guys, the fastest ever. Do you know who it was?
Go ahead,
Cleveland Boys Choir.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you remember. This had to have been mid 2000 something, and they were like under a minute, like. Flew.
We like when the high school choruses come in or the high school bands. It's like boom, boom, boom. They're done. Let's get on to the game. Let's play ball.
All right. So do we feel smarter about the Kentucky Derby? Well, you'll watch tomorrow, right? Obviously.
Oh, heck. I'll have a hat on and a mint julep and let's go.
Yeah, I don't know. We got invited to a party, and I'm like,
you gotta go.
It just depends. We got a long
day. Supposed to be a rainy day.
Yeah. We're gonna spend a lot of time outside tomorrow too. All right. I do want to bring this up. We're gonna talk more about this in the next segment.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know anyone that had better coverage over the years of LeBron James than you did. Like, your stuff was fantastic.
That's nice.
All the way through, and now we're at this point where what is LeBron going to do next? And so when we come back, I want to bring that up. So we're going to talk about what's next for LeBron. We're also going to get back into the series, Cavs and Pacers. And Dan Devine, Yahoo Senior Sports NBA writer, is going to join us coming up at 1. And we're also going to get into the Guardians, too, because I want to pick your brain on that, too. Plus your phone calls, 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps. Tom Withers is in today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, so let's get back to sports here. Big story, Popovich is no longer... The story is he's stepping down, right? Isn't that what the deal is? Yeah, he's going to step down completely as the head coach. He will
done
be...
Done coaching, correct.
Yeah, so he's transitioning to a full-time role as the team's president of basketball operations. So, good for him, though. I mean, obviously he was dealing with... You know, he had a mild stroke.
Yeah.
During the season. And then Mitch Johnson took over on an interim basis. I wonder who's going to get that job.
It's a great question.
I wonder if it'll be him.
You would think. I mean, he'd get probably first crack at it. Sorry that Pop has to step away, but I mean, it's 76 and, you know, some health issues, you know, probably the right time for him. Obviously, you know, legendary Hall of Fame career, what, 5 NBA titles, I believe. You know, not always a media favorite of mine.
Were times I would get irritated with him. Just answer the question. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I had good and bad with Pop and everything
did
in
you
between.
Ever, did
yeah.
you ever have a bad one with
oh,
him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, in fact, his most recent visit to Cleveland did not go well. Yeah, I had asked him. He, you know, obviously didn't like talking about himself. And I made the mistake of asking him about being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And instead of, you know, giving me the answer that he knew where I was going with the question.
For sure.
He turned it into kind of a salty moment. And everybody in the media apologized on his behalf as he walked out of the room because they knew that it was a fair question that I had asked.
Well, what'd you ask him? What's it like to be inducted in the Hall of Fame? I don't think it's a big bad question.
No, the problem with a guy like him is how you present it. And I know. And I probably didn't, you know, I didn't put it on a platter like he probably wanted it to be served. And so I got smacked around a little bit. And it happens.
So here, my question is that, like, I wonder, does Becky Hammon get a shot? That was like the first thing I thought of.
Wow, so we got a little bit of news on that, gentlemen.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So Sham Sharania, ESPN, the San Antonio Spurs are hiring assistant Mitch Johnson as the franchise's next head coach. Johnson had been the assistant in the Spurs program for a decade, took over as interim coach in November.
I would have thought that.
That day is coming.
I totally think it's coming.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But Becky Hammon's, she's at Las Vegas now. So she's the head coach of the Aces.
Vegas, right.
And I thought, you know what? She was the first woman to be an acting head coach in the NBA when they were in the bubble. And so I thought, well, maybe that would be, I thought that might, I'm just surprised they announced that so quick, right? They didn't even.
You're also getting into that part of the postseason where you've got to have some continuity and what have you. And this guy knows the team as well as anybody, so makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but you know, just going back to Greg Popovich, it's like you love him, hate him, but you have to respect. Have to respect him.
Yeah,
you know?
That's exactly right. That's the best way to put it, Andy. I definitely respect Pop. Like I said, I had some good and bad times with him. I remember asking him after they won the 2007 title here, when they beat LeBron in those sweep, right?
Remember how excited we were for the finals? We're like, we're in the finals, man. This is the greatest thing ever. They're coming off of Detroit. You're like, we're going to win the final. And then all of a sudden, we found out what the NBA was really all about. Yeah. We're like, oh, this will be a good series. Down 0-1. Oh, they can come back. Down 0-2. Do you think LeBron can help him get done?
Well, then they had the famous moment in the hallway, right, with Duncan telling LeBron, this is your league going forward, which is kind of cool. But I remember asking Pop after that, and it was maybe the second or third question that I got asked post-game. Big wine aficionado, you know, like he's got a giant cellar. I think he may actually have a vineyard or a stake in one now. And I think that was his fourth title or fifth title, and I asked him which wine paired best with a championship.
Okay, now did he like that question?
And he did. He gave a great answer. And my favorite part of that, though, was that Jackie McMullen of the Boston Globe, who I have respected a lot, grabbed me in the hallway, and she was like, that was such a great question. So I felt a little bit better about that, even if Pop didn't like it.
That was an attaboy moment.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. But obviously the game's going to miss him on the floor. I think for all the times that I didn't like him, the time that Craig Sager, when we knew that he wasn't doing real well, and Craig asked him a question as he was doing his job, but Pop knew what was going on.
And he was awesome, remember?
And Pop just he just was all over Sager, and it was just it was probably one of the best human moments I think I've ever seen a reporter and a coach or player have. And so for all those times that I used to get irritated with him for being a jerk in some of those interviews, the one time he was with Sager, I used to love seeing Sager when he would go to town.
Oh, great, yeah.
I mean, nobody wore better suits, you know?
Yeah. I remember with Pop, too. So there was a LeBron connection with him, like Olympics or what have you, and I needed to ask, and I had been told by or asked by New York to make sure you ask Pop such and such, right?
Right.
So I had to preface the question to Pop in saying that, you know, Greg, I know
this is at the Olympics?
No, this was here.
Okay.
And I said, you know, Coach, this is a little down the line. And then he interrupts me right away. And he goes, oh, but you got to ask it anyway, don't you? And I said, yeah, I'm sorry. Because, you know, your bosses ask you to do something, you do it, right? Yeah. And so every time There's always that buildup. Like I said before, it's about presentation, and you hate that feeling. Your heart's beating through your chest.
You feel like you're 21 asking your first question, right? And you're like, oh man, yeah. I'm going to ask a question.
Can I
here
phrase this correctly? Am I going to screw this up? So, but again, much respect to Pop. You know, one of the greats of our game.
Oh man. I don't know. It just, you kind of look at this and you're like, oh, that's, it's a sad moment. We move forward. The other guy we're going to end up moving forward on eventually is LeBron James.
Okay.
And so, you know, obviously the Lakers get knocked out, and then they ask LeBron about his future, and he's like, I got to go talk to my family about it.
Yeah, which is the standard LeBron answer, isn't which is, it, right? To keep everybody intrigued all summer. It'll be another summer of LeBron. Now, I'm not sure if his contract...
What is the value of him just answering that question, I got to talk to my... Like, leaving... What is the value of leaving everybody hanging, monetarily-wise... As far as
none
mention, I mean, but no, we're talking millions. Oh, like when he leaves Astoria hanging, right? How many people are going to write about the fact maybe LeBron's not coming back?
Yeah, but
maybe
LeBron's how do you monetize that though? That doesn't necessarily lead into
clicks.
Oh, okay,
podcasts.
I gotcha.
LeBron being, you know,
you meant sneaker sales or jerseys or whatever.
It could be though. Couldn't it be? Oh, this is LeBron's last year. This is the last year you're going to be able to buy the pro stuff.
I see.
You know, when you think about it, like, I don't think any of us in our right minds think about it that way. But when you sit here and we've covered him as long as we have and we know what, you know, what's the advertising dollar for? Like, think about what he did just to make sure his name's still out there, because he does like his name and things, right? There's no question about that. And that his name is still out there. It's going to be out there all summer. He's now a headline throughout. Like, hey, you get a team up by 25 in the playoffs. Now, all of a sudden, the announcers are looking for something to talk about. And then all of a sudden, do you think LeBron's coming back next year?
What kind of package could the Cavs put together to get LeBron?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. How many groups will come down to the IMG building to do a meeting with him? That, to me, was probably one of the most bizarre stories in the history of sports.
No question. That was as wild as it's ever been here.
Is he? What do you think he has left?
Well, you watched him this year. He's still one of the top 10 players in the league at 40, right? He's defying the odds and defying time and what have you. I think he's got a couple of years left. You know, he's also a guy that I don't think is just going to retire and walk away. Like, he's going to want the retirement tour, knowing him.
I still remember Kobe coming through here and talking.
Yeah,
and
that
was like being a part of a TV show. Remember, he came in, he sat down at the Q at that point?
Yeah. In the Fred McLeod TV studio now. Yeah, I remember that.
And he just sat down. And
he was great. Remember?
I just remember thinking, pre-game, God, he was cool.
Yeah, he was cool.
Because he knew exactly what he was. You know what? It kind of reminded me, that tour reminded me, and I think LeBron maybe learned something from that. So that first year LeBron was here, and we would go on the road. I was always, because I was still traveling with the team at that point, and we were doing games on Fox. And the one moment I'll never forget, we were at Air Canada Center in Toronto, and LeBron was a rookie, and we were like, they didn't even really have a place to do a pregame interview. And it was before the game too. It wasn't even like shoot around. Like, most people like just get him at shoot around. There must have been 100 reporters
in a hallway,
in a bar. It was like in a bar. And I was near the front, and my work was done for the day, so I didn't even. I just remember sitting back and watching this whole thing, and what blew me away for about a young LeBron James at that point, sitting in Toronto, and you know they're all asking questions that you would ask when a superstar comes to your city, and there are a lot.
How do you
of
like Canada? Do you want to come back? Yeah. Do you have your passport?
And LeBron ripped off a line. I don't know if somebody told him to say it or not. But he said, you know, being here and just understanding what, you know, basketball means to Canada and the NBA, and then to be in a venue like this that, you know, the greatest hockey teams in the world. And I was just like, oh my God, he blew me. Like, that was at the moment that it just blew me away. Like, I was just like, this is, I can't believe. And I think just as a guy that grew up around hockey my whole life, that he just even had the wherewithal just to kind of play into that. And talk about the hockey aspect of it. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah. Some of that was planned. Like anytime he would go to an arena,
city,
right? Yeah. He would always have his little spiel about the history of such and such city.
Because he was reading books.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back into the Cavaliers Pacers. That game coming up on Sunday. We'll talk about that next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Tom Withers is in today.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey
is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tom, I'm going to bring it up anyways, even though Dan doesn't want me to. I don't care. Somebody on Twitter, I'm not even going to give his name. So Gabriel was...
Shut the window, Andy. I know. Close the window in the kitchen.
So here's the tweet at us. Ready? So Gabriel was a combined 52 for 75, 640 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 4 passing, 1 rushing, 0 interceptions, and 1 fumble with a record of 1-1 versus OSU. You guys are unbelievable honks and biased as hell. Gabriel was the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. 5'11 draws the line, huh? Okay.
We praise the guy.
Yeah, I don't know what more. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
People hear what they want to hear. Why? Because we liked Ohio State's quarterback. You want to be biased? Big deal. I mean, we said there's an Ohio State quarterback that we liked that ended up in Pittsburgh. And I just think it's so funny how.
I like Gabriel a lot.
I like him too. I want to say, and especially. After what I said about right after he got picked by the Browns, please, hey, Ray, listen before you tweet. Tweeting and drinking, not a good thing to do. And take away the car keys.
Our social media mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, and you can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads or apparently directly at Andy until he remembers what CM Punk said oh so well and better than anyone else. Twitter is the window in my kitchen. I like to hear the outside world. When I'm done, I shut the window.
And just a reminder, it was 34-0 in the second quarter.
I love it. I love it.
maybe if Dylan had played some defense. He couldn't go both ways? Come on. He's not as good as Travis Hunter?
Oh, man.
Sorry.
It's all right. It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all positive.
Go away, little buckaroo. You'll get there one day.
Friends don't let friends tweet, drink, and tweet at the same time, right? Guardians in Toronto. Hello, Mark Shapiro. How are you? Good to see you again. That's where they are this weekend, right?
Ross Atkins. He's still
there.
Yeah,
Ross.
Too? Yeah, you go.
I'm a big fan.
Some
of
guys. Yeah, good
nice
dude.
Guy. Yeah,
I saw you two with him here.
You did?
Yeah. How about that?
I was at a. Wait, I saw him at Heights Heights homecoming game a couple years ago. He was there. It was a homecoming game. We were just kind of talking. It was before he left, though.
There you go.
Your thoughts on the Guardians, where we are right now, and I think we said this at the beginning of the show. They kind of are where we thought they'd be.
Yeah, they're about where I thought they would be as well. Again, you know, not a great start to the year. You know, 3-6 out of the gate. They come home. The weather has been tough. The bullpen is still worth keeping an eye on. You know, Class A obviously has had some struggles, and only struggles because he was so good last year. So any kind of a hiccup, you know, sounds the alarms.
Where is the bar on him? We sat here because there were some games where I'm like, oh boy, just take him out. Just take him out and let's bring somebody else in who can close out this game, get a win. Meanwhile, in the games I think they've only lost one game that he's actually been in.
Yeah, and he's 4-0, right? So they've bailed him out several times.
He kind of had to bail himself, right?
He did. You know, he's finding too much of the plate. You know, his control has been okay, but he's been over the plate with a couple of pitches. And listen, you know, these are major league hitters who have had a chance to look at him, and I don't care if he's throwing 102 or 92, you know, they're gonna time it up. So the great thing that the Guardians have is that they've got other options there, right? And Hunter Gaddis has been great. Cade Smith would start for would close for 28 other teams in the leagues. So they're fine. You want to see the lineup get going a little bit. Still trying to figure out that
2-3,
that number two spot. Yeah, I think Hosey clearly belongs in the three spot. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, you want to see Noel get going a little bit. Finally hits a bomb yesterday. You want to see Nolan Jones get going a little bit. You know, Rocchio has not been what we, you know, thought he could be in the postseason last year, right? So, again, early, we've just turned the calendar to May. But, you know, considering everything that's kind of gone against them to this point, as I mentioned to you earlier, 7-1 in one-run games, beating the teams that they're supposed to beat, right? I mean, think about how they struggled last year with the White Sox even, right? They take 3 out of 4 here against Minnesota, a good test on the road coming up. They came off of a kind of a tough road trip, as I recall, right? The Baltimore one, the recent one wasn't great, obviously. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, I think it was, right? And Kosse had his problems there. So they're fine. They're sitting right where we thought they would be sitting.
There was it was out with a radio station in Portland earlier this week, and they came and they were talking about the Guardians. They were talking about what it's like to be in a city because, you know, they only have the Blazers out there. He's like, they were like, oh, I can't imagine what it would be like to talk sports in a city where you've got three professional sports teams. And then, you know, they're on me about Stephen Kwan. They're like, is Stephen Kwan the most popular athlete in Northeast Ohio, in Cleveland, of your three sports teams? And I'm like, guys, we love him here. He's a lot of fun. I know he's an Oregon State guy, but
where would he be? He's top 10. He's top.
I was like, he's not even one on his own team.
He might be in the starting lineup, though. Like,
he's top 10?
Oh, yeah. Don't you think?
I don't know. The Browns.
I think he's your second most popular Guardian.
Yeah, that I agree with. So if he's number two there, where is he on the
19 then? If you no, I'm just kidding. I mean, you know, you got your Miles. Shador is suddenly one of the most popular players in town.
Donovan. He's top 10. He might be.
I think Jared Allen belongs in that list right now of most popular players.
Doesn't the season also matter too?
Like, of course it does.
Although,
so does the next series.
Yeah. No, that's a good point too. So they asked me that question. I was just like, sorry, guys. Yeah. I had to let him down. Yeah. They were all excited about it.
But let's talk about Kwan for a second. You know,
I love watching him play.
I do too. You know, not only does he set the table at the top of that lineup, his defense is extraordinary, right? Every time there's a ball hit down the line, you feel like he's going to have a chance to catch it. He makes a really nice defensive play the other night where he takes the ball off the wall, hustles it into areas. They end up doubling that guy off of first base. He's terrific. I mean, and I think the extension is coming. I don't know exactly when. As you know, the Guardians and, you know, before that, the Indians tend to not make those kind of deals while the season is going on.
Right.
But it's coming. I mean, they value him. They know what he means to this squad.
So I gained all kinds of respect for Dana Schneeman yesterday. The ball that went back to the wall, and you're watching him go back, you see it, and then all of a sudden, John Kenzie Noel is coming the other way.
Right.
And he's got to be twice the size of him.
Right.
And the fact that Schneeman went up and grabbed that ball and I thought he was going to get clobbered. And it was just like, that's the kind of guy. Oh, wow. You've got a great picture.
Have you seen that photo yet?
No, I haven't. So that's awesome.
Joshua Gunther from Cleveland.com. Shout out to Josh. Really great guy. Has an unbelievable photo of those guys hitting the wall at the same time.
That is amazing.
It almost looks like they're laying on a mattress, doesn't
it? Yes.
Yeah, it's unbelievable art. So
I can't tell you the respect I have for Schneeman, though. Like, he's the kind of guy now, if I was a quarterback, I would throw down the middle of the field too.
He's not going to short arm it, right?
If you saw Noel coming at you that fast, you're both trying to play the same ball. And then I went back and watched it just to see where his eyes were.
Right.
And I was like, wow, man, some kahunas on that.
So, to your point, as the draft was unfolding last weekend, I was at the Guardians and we were talking to John Kenzie. We're kind of standing by his locker, Zach Meisel, Tony Amato, the clubhouse guy for the Guardians, long time. And we turned to John Kenzie and said, hey, could you play in the NFL? And he's like, what position? So yeah, to your point, that's a big boy going tracking after that ball right there. You better be careful.
Did he say, what position do you want me to play?
Where do you want me?
A tight end. Right?
Oh, yeah. Or defensive end.
Yeah.
Either spot. I'd put him out there. Put a helmet on him. He'd be dangerous.
Thoughts about the bottom of the lineup?
Yeah.
I give Stephen Vogt credit on the Brian Rocchio situation because he's got to figure out a way to still trust him, but still try to figure out a way to get his bat moving a little
And he's
bit.
Going with the hotter guys, right? Yeah, whoever's hitting is going to play.
And Rocchio's got to understand that.
Of course he does. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I watched that situation. And then I said this to Jeff, I think on Monday or Tuesday, that last year things just kind of, I mean, as much as we like Stephen Vogt and we think that he's done a great job, he really, he got a lot of breaks. I don't know if that's the right way. He walked into a situation where things were working correctly.
They were.
Which we all know in baseball doesn't happen that way. And if you could write a movie about the best way to start a season, for a manager.
Yeah, but you don't forget you lost your ace after two starts. I mean, it's not like everything fell into place. I think what I do agree with you, Andy. I mean, things did kind of fall his way. What I'll say about him, though, that I really appreciated about him, which was one of the selling points that the Guardians gave us when they hired him, was that, boy, he built and instilled trust in his bench, and he got guys 1 through 26 ready to play every day because they didn't know if they were going to play. So I like the fact that they've got interchangeable parts, guys like Daniel Schneeman, that you can put in a variety of positions and hope that they can come through for
you.
So
I don't even know if this is fair or not, but I like Stephen Vogt. It's not that I didn't like him last year. I like him more this year because he has been challenged to make in-game decisions. Like Brian Anderson is normally with us on Friday, so he'll be back with us again next Friday.
He was scratched.
He was scratched. Always talks about how the lineup's coming from the front office now and that the managers are like the input. You wonder
in
how much
in general you mean,
in
or is he
general? Okay. Yeah, that analytics is setting the lineup more often than you think. And in fact, more often than you want to believe.
But if you have a manager in charge that you believe in, you trust his say so there, right? And you trust his gut to a degree. I mean, analytics can only take you so far.
I agree, but I do think that the influence that the front office has on these data.
I'm not saying there's not an influence. I agree with you.
And so that's why once the game starts, it's in his hands. There's like nothing unless you're getting a call from the front office in the middle of the game to say, nope, you got to put this guy in or do that guy. But why would you have a bench coach also looks at the analytics and says the same things about, hey, let's put this righty in or let's put this lefty in and especially against us. I mean, we've been doing that forever.
Yeah.
The question is was it coming from your bench coach or was it coming from upstairs?
I got you.
And so, like, I like Stephen Vogt more now this year than I did last year because I just think it's been more of a challenge, especially trying to generate more offense.
And Helmut Martinez, look at how great he's been. And you know, and he's hit from the day he's come up, and obviously Vogt is stuck with him. And you saw it again yesterday. He comes through with a big game-winning hit in the 10th inning.
Yeah, as we watch this season unfold, it does look like there's help coming on the way pitching-wise, too. Don't you think? Yeah. You were hoping that guys can get healthy?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, you've already Tristan McKenzie is already, back down in Columbus. You got to hope.
That worked out okay.
You gotta
we
hope
thought
for
he might get picked up.
You know, I said this the other day. I think the thing that I've wanted to see and the one concern that I had over the first few weeks was that you need Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams to go out there every single time and give you 5 or 6 quality innings. That hasn't been the case, right? They've been a little bit up and down. Ortiz seems to have kind of figured things out a little bit. Great outing the other night. Logan Allen has been better, I think, than you could have hoped. Again, he's got enough arms in the bullpen to kind of get him through. It's those games where they're not hitting and you just feel like the offense is looking for a spark. And that's where, to your point, Andy, that's where Vogt has really been on top of things. He's pushed and pulled the right triggers at this point.
Hmm. All right. We might get back into the Guardians a little bit later in the show. Again, they take on Toronto tonight up north. Dan Devine, Yahoo Sports, senior NBA writer, comes in next. We're going to talk to him about the Cavs and the Pacers.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.